glory to the Lamb. Amen. You may be seated. I do want to get started tonight. May Yahweh bless you all. The rich anointing of His Son rest upon you. And that is the revelation of whom the Father is. For Messiah came to reveal the magnificent glory and the power of Almighty Yahweh. And He did not come to reveal the strength of some generic God or God lords, but He came to establish the memorial of Yahweh. That is, that His name would be infamous. And throughout time, His name would be established. As I was listening today to the news accounts concerning what was that tower that went down, or the tower or the memorial that they are building in New York, where the Twin Towers were. We must understand what a memorial is. It is to remember those and there were cousins and uncles and aunts, mothers and fathers that lost their lives, sons and daughters, that day. But they all had a name. And so that is why the memorial is established, to remember their names. That their names throughout history will go down as a memorial. For these were, if you want to call them the brave ones or whatever, they lost their lives to that fate of that day, the suicide bombers. But the memorial is always to bring in focus the thing or the one that is to be honored. We should always keep that in our minds or our thoughts. And that is what the name of Yahweh is. It is a memorial to remind us of whom He is. I believe that all gods are made. No God came into His own or her own existence. Only Yahweh is the everlasting one. For He had no beginning or He had no end. And He was there from the beginning and He has no end. There are a few things that I do want to, you always will open your understanding to. I pray that He will grant you understanding and knowledge that you may see what Scripture says. And search it and see if it is truly Scripture. And see if it brings forth great understanding of whom the Father is and what He represents. And the Scripture will give us that kind of understanding. It will. I want to begin reading in one verse. Paul says this in Romans chapter 10. We're very ignorant people because we're not willing to learn. You know, in school we were not really willing to learn. That's why it was so difficult in certain subjects, because we were not willing. You were looking at the clock. You could not wait until class was out because you had other things on your agenda. You had other thoughts. You had other ideas. And so the thought wasn't on the things that pertain to that subject. We had to concentrate on those things that we could have been probably better students. But because we did not, then our thoughts were given unto activities outside of the school or outside of that curriculum. And so we, in many cases, we failed certain things and we were not as proficient as we should have been. And so it has, and so it is with the things of Yahweh. We have not given Him the proper time or the energy that He may reveal unto us a people that He can trust with great riches, jewels, that we would actually take these great riches and hold them dear to our bosom. We're not a people that actually will do that. I gave you that for a reason. You just hold on to that because I've got some things I want to show you in Scripture. It's not what I said, it's what Scripture says. You want to fight, you fight with Yahweh. You want to resist, you resist Him. You do not want to capitulate, change your mind. You may have the mind of Messiah, that you walk that way. But Scripture will reveal unto us the profound truths, if it's truly Scripture. And we must search the Scriptures and see if those things that are preached to us or spoken unto us by the Spirit, is it actually true? Like the Bereans, that's what they did. They didn't fight. They went to the Scriptures. Now I want to read this. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 11, he said this, Because there are some things that I want to show you and ask you, do you actually believe them? Paul says in Romans chapter 10 verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We believe on the Father, and the Son came from the Father. Then we will not refute what he says, or we are not ashamed of him. We won't deny him. We actually love him. For the scripture saith, not what man says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now Paul spoke a profound statement there. He told us what scripture says. We actually trust scripture and believe what scripture says. We will do what the Father commands us to do. We will obey the Father. Now what scripture was Paul preaching from? What scripture? He had to be preaching from the law of Moses, from the prophets and the Psalms. There was nothing else he could preach from. We're not that gullible to say that the New Testament was there. And what Paul spoke unto the Romans was just as relevant then as it is now. Because it was truth. And he knew what all scripture said. He knew the scripture. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew the law of Yahweh. He knew what scripture says. He understood what scripture said. That's why he was very offended when they used that name in a way that he perceived it to be blasphemy or to take his name in vain. Did he hear this one using that name, Yahweh? Said he came from the Father, yet he knew what Moses said. And he knew what the prophets said of this one. But he did not receive that revelation. It was only that day when he was traveling the road of Damascus. And the voice thundered from heaven. It did not speak in an English tongue. It spoke in a Hebrew tongue. That's what scripture says. Saul, Saul, why thou persecutest me? He did not speak in some other dialect. The scripture says he spoke in a Hebrew tongue. That Paul, Saul, would understand what he said. And he had no doubt. And yet when his eyes were opened, when he received the anointing of the Spirit, immediately he did not confer with flesh and blood. He knew the law of Yahweh. He knew those things that he had learned by schooling and drilling. And all of a sudden, they became alive in his soul. And immediately he began to preach Messiah. He did not preach some foreign, strange name, but he preached in the name of Yahweh. For Yahweh said, ye shall suffer many things for my name's sake. He had called Saul to suffer for his name. He had suffered and caused many to suffer for that name. And so the Father said, you will suffer many things for that name. Now I want you to turn to 2 Timothy, what Paul said, or Saul said unto Timothy. He said this, 2 Timothy 3:16. You know what he says, I want to read it. He says, all scripture, there's not an S on that. There's not an S there. He said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of Yahweh. And first of all, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. And the reason why that the man of Yahweh may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, thoroughly now furnished unto all good works. That is why scripture is given, that we may have a rich knowledge and understanding of what doctrine is. And no one can walk in doctrine unless they are disciplined. That is what doctrine is for, to discipline you. You preach a doctrine, it is to discipline you according to that doctrine. That is why you have such division today. Because men are not disciplined. They do not want to walk in the doctrine of Yahweh. He did not say it is profitable for doctrines, but for doctrine. There's only one doctrine. One. Yet man has devised so many kinds of doctrines.
Yahweh is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. There's only one Yahweh, one faith, and one baptism. Yet from that man has derived all kinds of doctrines. The false doctrines, they don't bring about any discipline at all. And doctrine brings about a discipline. It disciples you to walk in the discipline of the one that instructs you. And so he starts with the mighty power of truth, and that is his law. His law is the truth. You can't take that away from it, for that scripture is not given by the inspiration of Yahweh. He said all scripture. All scripture is given by that inspiration. And we that have understanding, we ought to know that no scripture is of any private interpretation. It is not a private interpretation. It is revealed by the Son. And the only way you're going to know the power of the Son, you must receive the one that has sent the Son. He is not Lord. He is not God. He is not titled God. These are the things that we have used because we have just been ignorant. We didn't know. We haven't been taught. Now you're always bringing his people to the profoundness of whom he is. He extends or he excels above every God. For there are many gods and there are many lords. There are. But there's only one Yahweh. He's the everlasting one. And there is no other like him. Now before I continue, I want to read something. Turn to your honor, John chapter 5. And I want to ask you a question. I'm going to read this. And if you don't believe this, then just stand to your feet. Verse 28. I want to start there. Is that written in red in the text you have? It says, marvel not at this, that the hour is come in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. You all believe that? All right. He says this in verse 30. Listen carefully. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Do you believe that? Now the key thing is in verse 31. Alright, he says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Is that the truth? Is that scripture? You believe that? You believe that? Do you understand that? Don't answer it, alright? Because there are many things that we truly don't understand. Because we haven't given our hearts over to understand those things. Alright? Okay, you believe that. He says in verse 31, read that with me. If I bear witness to myself, my witness is not true. Is that not what it says? He says his witness is not true. You believe that? All right, turn to John chapter 8, and I want to read it verse 12. The verse 531, I want you to hold on to that. Turn to John chapter 8. He says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. He says in John chapter 8, verse 12, is there red writing there? Is it red? He says, then spake, it says in the King James, Jesus. I will pronounce his true name, Yahshua. Then spake Yahshua again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You believe that? The Pharisee therefore said unto him, thou bearest witness or record of thyself, thy record is not true. That's what they said. Messiah says in verse 14, it says, Yahshua answered and said unto them, though I bear witness of myself, yet my record is true. Go back to John 5:31. If I bear witness or record of myself, my witness is not true. John 8:14. Messiah answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. He says in John 5:31, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. And then he says, if I bear witness, then my witness is true. Now, how do you explain that to someone that points that out to you? Now, I know how to explain it, but you don't. And many of you all do not. And that is a debacle of this English language, what it does. And the words that it used. I can show you many things. Now, I'm laying this because there are things I want to show you in this text that you don't even know. That's why Yahweh must, in this hour, He must have men that are anointed to preach and to show His people the clear path. And that is the truth. And so what the enemy is doing today, he's doing all he can to ostracize those, to try to destroy their faith. That there must be a revelation of truth here. How is it that if I bear witness that my record is not true, then he says here, although I do bear witness of myself, my witness is true. Now you can ask 99.9% of the preachers in America, they don't know how to explain that. Now, I'm giving you that you take this home and let your way deal with your mind and your spirit. It is one thing that this Babylonian English has done. It has perverted many things. I will show you things in here. That's why I gave you that definition there. We think we know things, but we don't. It's either that defined definition of what God is, it's God, or it is not. Then you tell me the definition. And the reason I gave you that, because I want you to see the etymology of the word God, where it actually originated. Because there's something in Scripture that if you actually read it, as I was reading one day, and as I am, I began to always try to discover words. Why is that word here? What is the purpose of that? What is the meaning of it? And that is one thing that we don't get time to understand things. He said, though I bear witness of myself, it is not true. And then if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. My record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell me whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, but I judge no man. Then he said, the judgment that I judge with, it is true. He said, my judgment is right. Yet it says here, he says, I judge no man. Yet it says in 5, he judged men, or his judgment is a true judgment. What is the problem? Well, it's because there are men that have handled the word of Yahweh in unrighteousness. They have not handled it righteously, saints. You explain that to me then. You do that. I'm not explaining it to you. I'm showing you this to baffle you somewhat. That's exactly why I'm doing that. To show you where you need to come up. And where you need to be elevated and brought above the level of your natural thinking and your carnal mind. Because if we have not the Spirit of Yahweh, we are none of His. We're not His sons. We're not those that have been purchased by the blood of Messiah. That is why we need the Spirit in this hour. There are many false messiahs
Four prophets and teachers that have gone out, and they have distorted much of truth. That is why we need the Spirit of truth. And when we receive the dynamics of His Spirit, it will lead us to His law. His law is the truth. And that is the truth. And everything is based upon the government of the law of Yahweh. It's not based upon the government of the flesh and what the flesh says, but it's based upon the government of His law. Now we read the King James, and we judge everything according to the script of the King James. That is why if you read some other text, you will say, well, it's not right, because you base everything on this. Well, I will ask you some questions from this. You tell me where to find these things that I need to find, all right? You tell me where I need to find them, all right? I want to read something. I have it printed here so I can see better. All right? I want you to turn to Joshua. Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10 verse 12. What is the witness of Messiah? He said, if I bear witness of myself, then my witness is not true. He said, although I bear witness of myself, and that word is enunciated the same as they have it in the Greek rendition. Witness and record is identical. It is enunciated the very same way. So if he bears record of himself, then it's not true. But if he bear record of himself, then his witness is true. Now, throw that out so you can begin to get beyond the level of your natural thinking. So that Yahweh may open up your spirit. We are the sons of Yahweh. He has not called His children to be ignorant. He has brought us into the fullness of knowledge through the revelation of whom He truly is in the body of Messiah. And we need to know the truth. And we need to know all the truth. I would ask you a question here. It says here in Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. It says, then spake Joshua to Yahweh in that day, when Yahweh delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and the moon, and in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still. I believe that. And the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemy. And then the question is asked here. Is not this written in the book of Joshua? Is it not written there? Where is that book? Tell me. Where is that book? I've tried to find it. I've searched out scriptures to define. I know what the word means. It is upright, straight. But it gives no text of where that book is. Joshua. It is written. Does it not say that? Is it not written in the book of Joshua? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heavens and hastened not to go down about the whole day. Now, where is that book, saints? Tell me. The deceitfulness of man and the corruption. Satan is a master for wicked technician. Where is that book? Now, it has to be a book because Samuel talks about it. I want to find that. I was sitting there and I just typed in my computer the book of. And the books of. And these books began to come up. Where are these books located? What has happened to them? Are they viable?
That's not the only one. I'm starting there. Are they real books? Come on, saints. We can sit here all baffled all we want to, but I'm reading from the King James. That's what it says in that book. Does it not say that? That's why this foolish generation says he's going to take them at their own will. He's going to destroy most of them. Because this is not a generation to listen. They don't want to hear. They're wake at. I believe all scriptures given by the inspiration of Yahweh. Do we believe that Samuel was a prophet? Well, I want to see what he says then. Let's see what scripture says. 2 Samuel. I want to read something here. Now, if this is the fourth prophet, then he will be mentioned as a fourth prophet. Or this book. It says in 2 Samuel, chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "And David lamented with his lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan his son." That's what it says now. "Also he bade them to teach the children of Judah to use the bow. Behold, I want you to see, is it not written in the book of Joshua?" He says, is it not written there? That book is not the book of Psalms. It's not the book of Samuel. But where is that book? Tell me. What historians tell us that David wrote over 5,000 Psalms. There are 40,000 pieces of documentation, of copies, that consist of that text. Well, where is that book? Is there anything vital in that book that is significant for this hour that we need? We know that Satan is going to seek to change times and the laws. He's doing that. That's why the folks today, the straw mob, has no meaning to them. That's why time has no value at all. Now, where is this book? Even the prophet talks about this one. Where is it? No, it's not the book of David. It's not the book of laws. It's not the book of Moses. Even the scripture talks about that, the book of Moses. Oh, I understand Exodus and those things, but it talks about the book of Moses. It talks about the book of wars. Where are those books? That's why even the apocrypha says you just really can't discount it. I know what men say, but do you really just discount it? Satan is master for saints. He loves to confuse the mind. And so he has found a language that does it better than anything. You look at words in the English language that they are spelled alike, and yet they have totally different meanings. B-E-A-R. To bear, to carry the weight. Commiserate, a meat eater. Has so many different implications. Yet Yahweh gave, or he spoke to a people in a language, and even it called Abraham of Abram, that Hebrew. So he had to speak in Hebrew to talk to him. That everything was precise. It had a defined meaning. So you couldn't construe it with another meaning. And so his saint comes along and he wants to baffle the minds of the people. And this is the only language whereby we call this thing, the Bible, is written in it, in this language, and distributed throughout the whole world. Tell me where this book is. Is it not important? It is. That's why there are men that must diligently seek the Father. We better pray that Yahweh send the anointed men of Yahweh. That's my prayer. I don't know what you pray for. I'm not praying for the things to satisfy my flesh. I'm praying that the anointed men arise with great anointing in their voices and they speak profoundly the truth of Yahweh. Well, that's just another meaning or another book. No, that is a book. That is. I've searched it trying to find it. Trying to find some historical note on that. And man and Satan is very deceitful. The heart of man. It really, truly is. And it's either it's the truth or it's not the truth. Are we just as baffled with that as we are with what Messiah said?
Has to be. Now, this old flesh don't want things to be pointed out. We like things to be just hunkadory. Yeah, because old flesh has no willingness to labor. It's a lazy piece of trash. It's sorry. It stinks. Black flesh. White flesh. It ain't worth a nickel's worth a rat's poo-poo. It doesn't want to be challenged. We're lazy. We just feed me. You're the little baby that today, she said to me, she looked at me, she said, please feed me. I said, what did you say? Just please feed me. Well, of course, she knows how to handle a spoon. But she said, just please feed me. Of course, the way she said it, I say, well, why not? You ask me like that, I'll feed you. Take joy in doing that. Well, that's the way the flesh is. I said to my wife last night, I said, you know, if I didn't have to take a bath, I would never take one. I said, it's a waste of time. But I know I need to do that. I said, I would never do that. I said, if I didn't have to sleep, I would never sleep. But I know the body needs that. There's a proper amount of time that the body needs to refresh itself. But if I didn't have to take baths, I would never take a bath. Waste of time. To me it is. Sleeping takes so much time. Yet you always has ordained all things. He has laid everything out, saints. And what he wants us to do is actually to seek him. And we truly seek him and took the time that we should in this book. We began to learn things. We began to see things. I'm grateful that he began to open up the knowledge of his name to me. For there are things that are revealed unto me that I've never seen. I don't care what the hypocrites say, but I know what I'm saying. So where is the book? Joshua chapter 13, and the sun stood still, chapter 10, verse 13, until the people avenged themselves upon their enemies. And this is it. Is not this written in the book of Joshua? The sun stood still in the midst of the heavens and hastened not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that Yahweh hearkened unto the voice of man. For Yahweh fought for Israel. Now where is the book? Or is it another book or just the name of one book in text? It's not so. Where is that book? All right, the scripture says in 1 Kings. 1 Kings. I will say that this is the book of Proverbs. All right, Proverbs is about the wisdom of Solomon. But this is what this says in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 41. It says this. And the rest of the acts, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 41, this is not something that I'm implying or writing. It's in the book that you're reading. It says, the rest of the acts of Solomon and all that he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon as the acts of the apostles, as Luke wrote? That's the question that is asked. Are not these things written in the acts of the book of Solomon? Is that the Acts or the Proverbs? It says here the Acts of the book of the Acts of Solomon. Are these books that are legit? Are they legitimate books? Are they actually books? Or is that phrase or the terminology of that word book is not applicable for that? What if the word book is not applicable? Neither is the word God applicable for Yahweh. For his name is Yahweh. It has to be applicable, or it is right, proper place, or the name of Yahweh is not in its right and proper place. So where is the book of Solomon? You get baffled because it is your own flesh that is baffling you. That's just like working a job when they began to make changes and radical changes. We hate that. I used to watch people go berserk over that. I don't want to change that. I'm used to doing things this way.
I like it that way. Why we have to do it that way? Because they've made changes. You're always going to have to make a change in our practices. And the things and the way we do things, because we have not produced the kind of fruit and the kinds of fruit that will bring forth the excellence of the Spirit. We'll produce every kind of unclean thing there is. And so our actions and our deeds have not produced the kind of righteous laws in us that will bring about an identity of whom He is. So it's either there is no acts of Solomon, or there is. It has to be, or it isn't. At the time of Solomon's reign in Jerusalem over Israel, 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers, and was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. I'm simply pointing this out to us, and began to cause us to move into a spiritual realm. We must be led by the Spirit. When a man is led by the Spirit, he is not baffled. He is not confused. You're always not the author of confusion. But we are confused because we have turned our thoughts and our ways unto all kind of evilness. Where there is envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. When you fight against the Father, you fight against His truth, you are going to be confused. And that's why you have a confused generation. Because they fight against your way. I don't like that. I don't want that. And that's why their minds are confused. I'm not confused. I know what I'm doing. I do. I know exactly what I'm doing. Believe me, I know what I'm doing. I do. You just stumble on this? No. You said, take a little time with Him. There are a lot of things you will begin to see in that book if you just read it. That's all you got to do. We just don't read it. And to say that we do that, oh, I spend time. I know you will say that. But we just don't read it. The Scripture says in Second Chronicles. I like this one. Second Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 15. Look at what Scripture says. I read the way it is in the King James text. It says this. Isn't that amazing? Because we will accuse the man of Yahweh, get upset with him. And this is what the text says. It says this. Now the acts of Rehoboam, the first and last, does it not say, are they not written in the book of Shemaiah? Does it say that? The prophet? Am I adding to this or am I reading it literally what it says? I'm reading it like it says. The acts of Rehoboam, are they not written in the book of Shemaiah the prophet and of Iddo the seer concerning genealogies? And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continuously. You know that word Shemaiah, it means heard by Yahweh. That is what it means. Heard by Yahweh. He said, aren't these things written in the book of Shemaiah? Where's the book of Shemaiah? Is there a book called Shemaiah? Or is there some kind of wisdom or earthly wisdom like Josephus? Was there actually a book called Shemaiah? The Scriptures never talks about Josephus. And Joseph is one of the most quoted historians there is when it comes to the Jews and the Hebrews. But that's what it says in that text you have. Is it not written in the book of Shemaiah, the prophet? And Iddo, the seer, the prophet? It says, and Rehoboam slept with his father and was buried in the city of David. And Abijah, his son reigned in his stead.
It's not something that I'm trying to conjure. I'm simply reading what it says in the text, in Scripture. What has man done? The deceitfulness of man, his heart. Yahweh always intended for us to be filled with the Spirit. That's why He said that He was going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. He intended that. And our sons and daughters will prophesy, and old men will see visions and dream dreams, and young men will see visions. He intended for that to be. We that are led by the Spirit, we are the sons. And that's the only way that we're going to be constituted as sons. And a son knows his father. Now, if it's not that, that text you have says that. It says it. Is it not written in the book of Shemaiah? It's not what I've put in there. It says it there. It's not something that I'm denying. I'm reading you what it says. It's not something that I'm trying to orchestrate. It is there. It is in that book. What do we do? Do we deny it? Or do we come to grips with it? And say, Father, lead us to the knowledge of that truth. We let everything else, lies, gossiping, trash, folly, spend more time in folly, foolishness. That's why this is the generation that's going to pay. That's why He said every idle word that we speak out of our mouth, we're going to be judged. You spend time talking about foolishness and trash. I think I'll research out the gem of this riches. Oh, I will. I want to find out. I want to know. I do. I want to know. Because Scripture says it. Is that not in the Scriptures that you're reading? Not the Yahweh Bible you want to blame me on. No, I'm reading from the King James. That's what I'm reading from. So who is Shemaiah? His name has to be that important that Yahweh put it there. We believe His Scripture. And call Him by His name, Shemaiah. He was such a profound man that he wrote a book and he wrote prophecy. Sure he did. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We'll see what Scripture says. Now, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of Yahweh. It's profitable for doctrine, for instruction, correction, and righteousness, that the man of Yahweh may be thoroughly furnished. Is that, if it's written, is it all Scripture? Is it Scripture? Look what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 34. I will read like it is in that text. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 34. Now, the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, are they not written in the book Jehu, son of Hananiah, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel? I know what the book of the kings are, but what about the book of Jehu? We have 1 Kings and 2 Kings. But he said the first and the last acts, they are written in the book of Jehu, son of Hananiah, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. Now, do these things have substance, valuable things for spiritual growth? Or is it a mistake? Is it valuable to our growth? He said it's written in the book. I know who Jehu is. But Scripture tells us in Chronicles of his life, he says that it is written in the book. Or is a proper expression there? Should it not be book then? Huh? What are you doing, preacher? Trying to cause us to open up our hearts unto your way. I have to seek him like a son truly seek a father. You see what Messiah did? He went to that Garden of Gethsemane because he knew that there was a time of death. And we're in the hour whereby our flesh must be destroyed. And he prayed and he sought Yahweh until the sweat fell off him like great drops of blood.
until he knew in his soul that he was ready for whatever he had charged and commanded him to do. Are we truly ready for any kind of trial? Then he came back and said, sleep on. Makes no difference whether you are awake or asleep. You just do that. We are persuaded by kinsmen, flesh, natural things. We must be persuaded by him and his truth. And so what he's going to do in this hour, his people, he's going to shock them in their little carnal practices and their little places that they have become so accustomed and accustomed of doing. He's going to rouse you from your flesh. He's going to have to separate that natural power of the natural man over the spiritual man. He must break that. You would rather believe a natural law of the flesh than to believe the spiritual law of Yahweh. You would rather side with lies and folly than to side with truth. And so he's going to have to break that. It's not going to be mama or daddy. It's going to be him. He's going to be the one that is preeminent in your soul and nothing but him. So he's going to shake you from your little fleshly comfy thing. You come to the whole house. Clap your hands a little bit. Pat your foot. Sing your favorite song. Then you go back home and live like sin and wickedness.